Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth and truly delicious chocolate experience.
Well, the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, has said that preparation is needed for a border poll and that the wealth generated by a united Ireland would far outweigh the cost. And this comes after the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, said that a border poll wouldn't be on the government's agenda for the next 5 years. But Mary Lou MacDonald says a united Ireland would be beneficial on both sides of the border. Just have a listen to Mary Lou MacDonald speaking to Ciara on News Talk Breakfast this morning.
Whereas some people focus on the what this will cost, others have done considerable work on the wealth and the prosperity that a united Ireland would generate, and the opportunity economically of Irish unity far outweighs anything that might be cited as the cost.
What do you think about that? Is it a good time for a united Ireland? Would, as Mary Lou MacDonald suggests, the wealth generated outweigh the cost? We want to hear your view on this afternoon. You can get us on 53106. Kieran is on the line. Kieran, thanks for joining us today on Lunchtime Live. What do you think of this idea of a border poll?
Well, I think the first thing to recognise is that in many ways, for a lot of people, particularly the younger generation, a united Ireland is kind of, they don't see the border the way other people see it. If you look at the arts, if you look at sport, you know, the border's become more and more irrelevant. I mean, there's loads of, apart from soccer, virtually every other sport is on an all-Ireland basis. You know, whether it was with in terms of obviously Gaelic Games, but in terms of the Olympics, or in terms of boxing or hockey or whatever, you know, it's worked on an all Ireland basis. The other thing is, and I also think in the arts as well. I mean, the arts and at third level, at university level, there's an awful lot of cooperation been going on for years there.
Yeah.
So in music as well. I mean, it doesn't become like, you know, when people talk about Irish traditional music or Irish music or Irish literature, the border's sort of irrelevant, like, to all those things. The other thing, so in the cultural level and the sporting level, I don't think the border's been a factor for years anyway. In terms of... I think there is the issue of a political level and an economic level. And what I would say about economically, I think, you know, while I agree with the border poll, I think it's necessary to understand that that's only really going to work if you get buy-in, if you convince, in other words, the pro-unionist, if you like, Protestant, although it's not all Protestants, if you convince them of the benefits of a united Ireland. And in the way that the unionists or the Protestant community have bought into, we'll say, the women's hockey team, or we'll say they've bought into, like Irish traditional music, okay, or so on, or theatre, they need to buy into the economic value in the same way.
Yeah, all right.
And to do that...
Yeah, just don't go on, finish your point on that, Kieran.
Yeah, well, it's just that what I would... Just the 2 points on this. Capitalism in Ireland has already, operates regardless of the border. So if you look at banks and retail and so on, they're operating regardless of the border. And really what we have to do now is to convince basically ordinary Protestant working class people that it's in their interest to have a united Ireland. So
just stay with us, Kieran, because I just want to bring in another listener here. If you want to join us today, it's 1894 53 106. William is on the line here. William, thanks for joining us on Lunchtime Live. What do you think about this idea as somebody who's in Northern Ireland? You're in County Down, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Well, what do you make of this this idea of a border poll?
From a personal point of view, I think it's inevitable that it will happen. The problem is that, you know, a border poll conjures up this vision of, you know, it's either a yes or a no. And I think that a lot of people on the unionist side, and I mean, I wouldn't purport to speak for unionism, but a lot of people on the unionist side would see that as a threat. So I think trying to put, you know, any sort of time frame on this, and that the question in that would be either a yes or a no or something like that, could actually be quite dangerous. I mean, we're in the middle of the whole Brexit thing.
Yeah, and look,
where we've had a referendum, where we have a question,
and we see how long, you know, that has taken, and the level of complexity around all of that. We're talking about this today because the Taoiseach here, Micheál Martin, said that the poll, it's not going to be on the agenda, the government's agenda here now for the next 5 years. And I suppose really the question is, you know, I know Mary Lou MacDonald, we heard from the Sinn Féin leader on News Talk here earlier this morning, but do you think, is it the right time or should we hold off for a couple of years? Would you agree with Micheál Martin on that?
Yeah, I think I would agree with him. I mean, the one, I suppose we have a united Ireland at the minute, and that we're all completely fed up with this pandemic. Now, that's really what's in the middle of everybody, at the front of everybody's minds at the moment. Next year is crucial, I think, because obviously we're then going to go into the real Brexit in January. There's already starting to filter through just a couple of things about products that won't be available in Northern Ireland. I think people are going to have to start to look. If we can't get something coming from GB, or if it's going to cost more, we're going to have to look, well, can we actually get it from south of the border? We've also got this proposed celebration of the centenary of Northern Ireland next year, which I fear could be a very polarising event.
Right.
If it is actually presented as a, and I'm going to use a phrase here, which I hope you don't mind, if it's presented as a loyalist festival, I think that really will get a lot of people's backs up on even the non-nationalist side. The problem is that there are always going to be people in Northern Ireland who see themselves as unionists. Unionists can't see a united Ireland. I mean, the two things are diametrically opposed to each other, but who should surely see the way in which our relationship with GB has changed over the past few years.
It's interesting, you know, one of the other points about this, William, too, has been the cost of all of this and what it might cost. And I didn't hear Mary Lou MacDonald give a figure on that when she was speaking to Ciara Kelly here on News Talk Breakfast this morning. But will you just stay with us, William, because we have another caller here with us joining us on Lunchtime Live. Faulkner's also on the line. Do you think, would this be a good decision economically, Faulkner?
Well, I think we have to start talking about it at some time, and that is better sooner rather than later, because as other callers I'm sure will point out, it's not an easy thing to face into. So the sooner you start talking, the sooner you get the thing done. But let's be clear, the division of the island was never achieved for cost grounds in the first place. Mm. It was in effect a religious apartheid. One religious community north of a line, one community south of a line, and it was never about economics in the first place. But the negative impact was economical, because I think it's generally agreed that the north was more industrialised at the time than the south.
Yeah. And in particular, I suppose, in and around Belfast itself too.
Yeah.
Look, I wonder, are people in the south, you know, when we talk about this, and even if it does take 5 years, but as you made the point there, Faulkner, that, you know, maybe now is the time to even just start the conversation. If we've learned anything from Brexit, it's not going to be a, you know, a 12-month job. But like, I just wonder with things like the national anthem, you know, with the tricolour, with the flag, like, I wonder what... Are people
Andrea,
willing to have a discussion around that? And I wonder what things like the NHS and the education system. You know, like, I'm from a border area, say, myself. I live literally 7 kilometres, my home house, from the border with Fermanagh. So I would be very, you know, I would be very aware over the years with the differences between both jurisdictions. But I think that for a lot of people living in border areas, they will see some benefits economically with things like the NHS, and as well, even with the education system to a certain extent. I'm not talking about the old 11 plus or what would have been the kind of the grammar schools, but when people look at perhaps like the A-level system, they would see some benefits, I think, in border areas to that. But just what's your view on those things?
Well, my view, Andrea, is that there's a list as long as your arm of all the things that would have to be discussed. And let's not fool ourselves about that. It is a long division that has to be unwound, if you like. So there is going to be a big long list of things. We know that. But the reality is that it is inevitable that on a tiny island like this, that we will have to get ourselves together. I mean, the current healthcare issues are just the tip of the iceberg, and the logic of it, if you like, because the situation at the minute is that north of one line and south of the same line, there are different healthcare responses to a pandemic, which is, you know, that doesn't make any sense.
I know, and sure, we see the problem with addressing the pandemic in the border region.
But, Andrea, if you cast your mind back to the foot and mouth, I mean, there was more unity in terms of response to that than there is, I think, to the current situation.
Okay. Well, just
all these things, they're inevitable. So the sooner we start talking about them, the better. But that means both parties, or all three parties, or every party has to sit down.
Yeah.
But if the Southern party is already saying no, then that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, I think it's not on the agenda for 5 years. But just, Faulkner, stay with us, because I just want to bring in another one of our callers. Eileen also joins us here on News Talk. Eileen, what point did you want to bring up today?
Well, I spent a fair bit of time on the Fermanagh-Cavan border, actually at a Buddhist centre with people from the north, spending a lot of time there. And what a lot of people said is that they wouldn't vote for a border poll because they just didn't want to lose the NHS health cover that they have, health service, particularly free GP care. So unless we got our health service in order, they simply weren't interested. That was what I heard from the conversation with them about it.
Yeah, okay.
And particularly people who be like maybe from a nationalist inverted commas community, you know.
The suggestion that it's not going to be, you know, top of the list of items to address for about the next 5 years, is it something that you personally would like to see looked at, Eileen, in the coming years?
Well, as I said, I don't think that it's a flyer really unless the healthcare system was brought into alignment with the northern one.
Yeah.
I think it's a moot point, honestly, Ciara.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I think it's actually a moot point from the point of view of people from the north, because they're not interested unless the healthcare service are aligned. It's not something that they'd be willing to sacrifice or compromise on.
All
that's
right.
The priority.
Yeah.
It's the real bread and butter day-to-day stuff.
Okay.
You know, and I'm inclined to agree with them. I think we'd need to align them as well, just so that it would work. Otherwise, I don't know, it's going to be a lot of time doing nothing, really.
All right. Okay, well, listen, Eileen, we leave it there for the moment. I do want to go back to William, who joins us here on Lunchtime Live today. William is in County Down. Just, William, having heard the views there of Kieran and Faulkner and Eileen, have you any final point in summary today in hearing that?
No, I think it is very much a long game. I thought in my lifetime it would never happen, but I think it actually will now happen.
Okay.
I think it will happen at some point. But I think it's language, it's the way in which this is approached. Even the phrase United Ireland sends a tremor of fear through unionists. I think it needs to be dealt with in a very particular way. And ultimately, the actual drive for this needs to come from north of the border.
Okay, all right, we'll leave it there. William, my thanks to you for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. You can get in touch with us, 1890 453 106. If you have a view on this issue today, we're discussing, is now the time for a United Ireland, or like Micheál Martin has suggested, should it be something that maybe we discuss in around 5 years' time? We want to hear from you. You are listening to News Talk's Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Now, coming up next on the programme, we're celebrating the businesses who got creative during lockdown.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.